Support for the Legislative Gazette comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
Election Day brought mixed results for Democrats and Republicans in New York's congressional and legislative races. Republicans were quick to claim victory, but Democrats, who will remain in the majority no matter the outcome of contested races, say the record number of absentee ballots need to be counted first, which might take weeks. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the rules in New York State were changed to allow anyone eligible to vote to cast an absentee ballot. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Republicans are ahead in several contested races in early and in-person voting. They include Congressman John Katko in central New York and Claudia Tenney, who is seeking her old seat back in a district that stretches from the southern tier to parts of the North Country. Republican Assemblywoman Nicole Malliotakis has already declared victory over Democrat Matt Rose in a seat that includes Staten Island. State Republican Party Chair Nick Langworthy says he's pleased to regain GOP congressional representation in New York City.
That is tremendous that we are restoring strength to our party in the city of New York. And I think it bodes very well as we look at the mayoral race next year and as we look at statewide offices.
Langworthy says his party believes it will also hang on to an open seat on Long Island held by Republican Congressman Peter King. In the state Senate, the results of early and in-person voting favor Republicans in five contested seats on Long Island and in the lower Hudson Valley in New York City. Senate GOP Minority Leader Robert Ort calls it a course correction, and he says it's a repudiation of one-party control. He says it's also a rejection of some of the majority Democrats' policies, including bail reform and other criminal justice changes. He says some GOP candidates are leading in districts with more Democratic than Republican enrollment.
The people of New York, of all political stripes, did not like what they saw the last 2 years. And they want to see something different. They want to see more balance. They want to see checks.
Langworthy says Democrats in the legislature abdicated their lawmaking powers during the pandemic to Governor Andrew Cuomo when they gave the governor emergency decision-making authority, including over the state budget. And he says that hurt them in the elections. Langworthy, speaking outside the state capitol, which is closed to the public due to the pandemic, gestured toward the building where the governor and his staff have their offices.
Father doesn't know best. He thinks he does. But we have senators and assembly members that are elected by their own constituencies, and they need to be heard. And I think that it was a rebuke of incumbents.
Democrats counter that Republicans are too hasty to claim the wins. Democratic Senate Campaign Committee Chair Senator Michael Gianaris, speaking on public radio's The Capitol Press Room, says Democrats voted absentee in larger numbers than did Republicans, so the early results showing GOP wins could change when all of the votes are counted.
We knew that there's an overwhelming Democratic absentee vote that has to be counted still in a lot of our districts. So given our projections, we fully expected that some of these close races we were going to be behind on election night and ultimately win. That's the posture we're in right now.
Democrats had hoped to definitively win a veto-proof supermajority of 42 seats, but so far they have not achieved that. Gianaris says Democrats have solidly retained 36 seats, though, of their former 40-seat majority.
The majority is intact with a sizable cushion. That number is going to grow.
They are favored to hold on to three former Republican-held seats in western New York, and Gianaris believes five more seats that are initially in the Republican column could ultimately be taken by Democrats when all of the ballots are counted. Senate GOP leader Ort says he does not think that absentee ballots will change the results of the races where Republicans lead. But the GOP is not taking any chances. They've already gone to court seeking to impound ballots in several races.
We want to make sure that the hard-fought wins and gains of our candidates last night are not altered or taken away when this process is concluded.
The absentee ballot counting and court action means it will be weeks before the outcome of some of the races are known. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government, politics. I'm David Giustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Of course, the election's dominating this week. I want to start with just the national election, the Trump-Biden numbers in New York. 58.3% for Biden, 40.4% for Trump. We know it's a blue state. You know, it's nearly 20 points. That's a huge win. But I've been hearing from many that that's closer than they would have ever imagined in New York. If you look at the surrounding states like Massachusetts and Vermont, they're over 30 points ahead for Biden.
David, it's important to remember that New York State has always been divided in some ways. Downstate, heavily Democratic, the metropolitan area, of course, New York City, and then upstate. Now, things were moving, so we got a Democratic Senate for the first time a couple of years ago. And that may have put some people, primarily Democrats, at ease that the state was growing bluer, but it isn't. And you saw Trump signs and Trump trucks and thugs all over the place. Democratic signs being torn down and the stopping of traffic on the Mario Cuomo Bridge. This is pure thuggery. But leaving that alone, there are still a lot of Republicans in upstate New York. We saw the Brindisi election, Congressman Brindisi, who apparently has lost to his longtime opponent, Claudia Tenney. So, look, the Republicans are alive and well in upstate New York, and it means that New York will have a two-party system. It won't be two-party enough to elect a governor in place of Andrew Cuomo if he runs for a fourth term, which was denied to his father, because the Republicans can't seem to come up with viable candidates. We used to call these people who they put up who-he's. In other words, these are people nobody ever heard of. And along came George Pataki and beat Mario Cuomo. So maybe the Republicans will find a who-he. Maybe four terms will prove to be the bete noire of Andrew Cuomo. I doubt it, by the way, but it's possible.
One of the other takeaways from the election results in New York this week, Alan, it looks like now a supermajority appears unlikely for Senate Democrats.
It's good news for Andrew Cuomo. What do they need a supermajority for? They need a supermajority. If they had a Republican governor, that would be a different story because it's a Democratic Senate, of course. But the only reason they need it, it would be to override Andrew Cuomo with his vetoes. And he's been a tough guy when it came to dealing with the legislature. So the denial of the two-thirds, not that an awful lot of people were going to take on Cuomo and override his vetoes, because that could spell the death knell. One of the things that was interesting is that we were carefully watching the Working Families Party and how many votes they got and how many people voted on the Working Families line rather than the Democratic line, which was very important because, as we know, Cuomo and his allies in the legislature changed the allocation of how many votes you needed in order to have a permanent line. And the Working Families Party got it.
Now, what about the fact that New York, as so many states, are waiting on aid for all the economic damage that has hit the state as a result of the coronavirus pandemic? We know now it looks like Senator Schumer will not be the majority leader in the Senate. Yes, as we speak, the presidential race looks like it will be Joe Biden. But what does this all portend for monies coming to the states that desperately need it?
Well, obviously, New York State and Cuomo are in a lot better shape with the election of Joe Biden than they were before. Look, there's a lot of politics that will go on here, a lot of horse trading. So you're down two in the Senate. You'll find people who will, for the purposes of their states, go along with you with a program that will allow state and county and city governments to go forward. That's what's going to happen here. And I'm sure Cuomo could not be more pleased. With one possible caveat, and I'm not saying this is so because I've talked to Cuomo about this a good deal, and it's clear he was firmly in the Biden camp. He and Biden are good friends. But had Biden lost, then Andrew Cuomo would have been a clear favorite among many Democrats to run for president 4 years from now. But that's not going to happen.
What about Elise Stefanik? She won big over her challenger, Tedra Cobb. Really, no question about her strength in the North Country, and has become quite well known as a result of her role in the impeachment of President Donald Trump. He's called her out as a star.
Your thoughts on a Trump loss and what that might mean for Elise Stefanik?
Well, it can't be good, because she was more moderate. Then she got adopted by Trump, as you suggest, and tremendous support from Trump. No Trump, no support, a Democratic president. On the other hand, it is a very Republican district at this point of the game. They like her. It'll be interesting to see whether she adjusts her message based on the state of events. She could, David, of course, become the voice of the dissatisfied Republican minority in America who didn't elect a president.
What about New York's role, assuming, as you've pointed out, something terribly wrong happens and the lead for Biden doesn't hold? If he wins, does New York State play a significant role in prosecution of what would be a former president, Donald Trump?
It's a fascinating question, David. I'm glad you asked it. There are many people who are very angry at Donald Trump. There are many people who think that the information he should have given a long time ago about his taxes and other things are going to come into play now. He will not have the protection. You know, the Supreme Court, his Supreme Court, recently said, without Judge Barrett on it, that no person is above the law, and then said, but by the way, send everything back before the election to the lower courts. Which means, in my mind, man, there are some people who have very special privileges when it comes to the law. But he will not have that protection if he is out on his keister. And at that point, we know that Cy Vance, the district attorney, is pursuing lawsuits and criminal possibilities against him. Same thing with the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James. They are going after him now. There will be those who say we have to heal in this country, leave him alone, let him slink off into the dark. And there will be a lot of angry people who are saying, hey, let the law do its job. I'm one of them, by the way.
Well, the law did its job in New Jersey elections, and I bring this up because of what it means for New York, Alan. I saw a story that said that the number one Google search in New Jersey after the election was how to roll a joint. They passed legalized marijuana by a strong margin. It was a ballot question in New Jersey. The issue is New York. Now, Governor Cuomo has, we've heard, been looking to renew his call to legalize marijuana in New York State. It's a complicated issue here because they want to make sure those minority communities who were affected by the Rockefeller drug laws reap the benefits of a legalized industry. You know, it will bring in revenue, not enough to fill a $30 billion hole, but with New Jersey's move now, does it make it more likely with all these surrounding states that New York will finally do it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of politics here too, David. Obviously, we referenced the working parties putting up a more progressive candidate against Cuomo, Cynthia Nixon. And I think Cuomo got the message that he had to appear to be more progressive. He's a centrist. There's no question about it. A lot of people admire that. And, you know, there is no better symbolic way of doing that than saying I'm for legalized marijuana. In the meantime, I live in right across the border in Massachusetts. And I got to tell you, you see an awful lot of New York license plates lined up at the marijuana dispensary.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. A number of New York State Senate races in the Hudson Valley have not been decided yet, and it could be weeks before constituents know who will represent them next year. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn with more.
The closest races are in districts with first-term Democrats and seats previously in Republican hands for a long time. Democrat Jen Metzger is trailing in the 42nd District, which had been in Republican hands for years before John Bonasick retired in 2018. Republican Mike Martucci has declared victory, saying the margin of victory at the polls was substantial enough to overcome the number of mail-in and absentee ballots on file with the Board of Elections. Metzger says there are about 25,000 absentee ballots that are overwhelmingly from Democratic voters, and she'll await the final results. The 42nd District includes Sullivan County and portions of Delaware, Orange, and Ulster counties. In the 41st District, Republican Sue Serino declared victory for a fourth term in a rematch against Democrat Karen Smyth. In 2018, the race went to absentee ballots. Smyth has conceded, saying that even with 30,000 absentee ballots outstanding, she does not see a different outcome. Cirino had more than 56% of the vote. In the historically Republican 40th district, first-term Democratic Senator Pete Harkin lags behind Republican Rob Astorino by about 6 percentage points. Astorino is a former Westchester County executive who ran for governor in 2014. Harkin spoke Tuesday night.
But the good news is, of the 38,000 absentee votes that were in as of today, over 20,000 of those are Democratic, only 7,000 are Republican, and then of the 8,700 some odd none, there's going to be a split there. So I think there is reason to be cautiously optimistic, but this is going to be a long process. The machines have been impounded. There's going to be a 10-day wait before we can even start counting. Some more absentees will come in. So you remember, we won this 2 years ago by a razor-thin margin. We were the first Democrats in 100 years to win the seat. And we knew it would be tough and competitive and close, as it is.
First-term Democratic Senator James Skoufis has declared victory in the 39th District, which had been held by longtime Republican Senator Bill Larkin, who did not seek re-election in 2018 and died at age 91 a year later. Skoufis says his margin is comfortable and that once absentee ballots are counted, which are 2-1 Democratic, he expects to win with a margin at or near 10%. As of earlier today, Skoufis says Republican Steve Brescia, who is the mayor of Montgomery and Orange County legislature chair, had not reached out to him. Republican William Weber leads Democrat Elijah Reichlin Melnick by about 3 percentage points in the 38th district. Democrat David Carlucci cannot seek another term after having run and lost in the 17th congressional district primary. Weber, on social media, says that while he remains very optimistic that his margin will hold, there are many absentee ballots that need to be counted. Reichlin Melnick said Tuesday that he expects to win once all the absentee votes are counted. He trails Weber by about 3,300 votes and says there are nearly 40,000 outstanding absentee ballots, with Democratic ballots outnumbering Republican ones by more than 3-1. The district includes a large portion of Rockland County and a piece of Westchester.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik declared victory on election night in a rematch of 2018 against Democrat Tedra Cobb. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard was there.
Congresswoman Elise Stefanik.
Stefanik took the stage at an election night watch party in a heated tent outside the Queensbury Hotel in Glens Falls.
This is your congressional seat, the people's seat, and I am so proud to serve as the voice and the vote for the people of New York's 21st Congressional District.
Stefanik stuck to familiar themes in the 2020 campaign. The Republican touted her support for law enforcement and the military. The district is home to Fort Drum, home of the 10th Mountain Division. But this was also the first race since Stefanik significantly boosted her national profile with her fierce defense of President Donald Trump and attacks on Democrats during the impeachment hearings. This election cycle, Stefanik has served as a chair of the president's re-election campaign in New York. To put that in perspective, in 2016, Stefanik didn't vote for Trump in the primaries. She went for John Kasich. In 2018, Stefanik stood next to President Trump at a defense bill signing ceremony at Fort Drum. Stefanik at her rallies also sharpened her tone and frequently used labels like Hollywood liberals and leftists to deride Democrats and energize her base. Asked about what she's looking forward to in returning to Washington, Stefanik said she's focused on the recovery from COVID-19 before the year is over.
Continuing to safely reopen the economy, supporting our small businesses, getting that additional support needed through the Paycheck Protection Program, making sure that our kids are able to safely learn in schools with K-12 funding. That's on the immediate to-do list.
In her second run against Stefanik, Cobb tried to use Stefanik's name-calling against her, attempting to frame it as divisive and what leads to gridlock in Washington. Prior to conceding from her campaign headquarters in Canton, Cobb released a video on Facebook thanking her supporters and keeping the pressure on Stefanik.
We are here because everyone deserves to have health care. We're here because people deserve to retire with dignity and have the security of Social Security and Medicare. We're here because our children and our future, they deserve clean air and clean water. We are in this fight because Elise Stefanik voted against each and every one of those things.
But despite Cobb's optimism, unofficial results were strongly in favor of Stefanik, who declared victory with a nearly 2-1 margin. Also celebrating at Stefanik HQ Tuesday night was Republican State Assemblyman Dan Steck, who defeated Clinton County Treasurer Kimberly Davis to succeed Betty Little in the 45th State Senate District, who is retiring. Little, who recently announced that she was battling breast cancer, was absent Tuesday night. Steck called Little a friend, a role model, and a mentor.
I believe in public service, hard work, doing the right thing to represent the people that you represent, and ensuring a better quality of life for everybody. Right now, that's more important than ever. We have a lot of work ahead of us in the months to come, from getting our economy back on track to making our neighborhoods more safe and more affordable.
In the race to replace Steck in the Assembly, Matt Simpson, the Republican town supervisor from Horicon, celebrated after defeating fellow Warren County board member Claudia Bramer, a Democrat of Glens Falls, and former Thurman supervisor Evelyn Wood on the Sam party line.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Nick Langworthy, the chairman of New York's Republican Party, held a press conference the day after the elections to talk about how Republicans did and why he's pleased with the election results.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you got a little more sleep than I did, but it's been quite an evening. Almost 2 years ago, I set out on a mission, and I said I wanted to rebuild, retool, and revitalize the Republican Party in the state of New York. And I am very proud of the results that our party showed last night, taking a very bold step in that direction. We won critical races. At the federal level, at the state level, both in the Assembly and the Senate, at the local level. We won in key areas that have eluded Republicans in the last several elections. We put key victories up in the suburbs. We restored federal representation to New York City, which I have felt is an obligation of the Republican Party, and have had a very good night. You know, we don't know the final end results, but we have taken a tremendous step forward towards that mission to rebuild the party and restore two-party government to the people of the state of New York and give them a choice. I feel that last night's results also, you know, are a rebuke for the extreme left-wing agenda that's been thrust on this Capitol by Democrats that run the legislature, frankly. You have leadership in the Senate since they took over that have embraced an extreme agenda. The defund the police movement, the bail reform, the discovery reform, the things that have created a revolving door criminal justice policy in this state, I think were firmly rejected. By the results that we see last night. And it's, I think it's, it builds into our success. We recruited great candidates that went forward and carried basically a collective message. I mean, for the first time, you know, I'm certainly a proponent of saying all politics is local, but for the first time in my recollection, I got candidates on the far end of Long Island campaigning on a similar message to candidates in Niagara Falls. And that is because there is an appetite out there from a strong, silent group that doesn't go protest in the streets. They try to live their lives. They want a more free New York, and a New York they can afford, and a New York that will allow our families to stay together, that we can actually keep our future generations here and not export them somewhere else. I think it's a victory for them, and they came out and voted for our candidates in all regions of the state. Tremendously proud and want to salute the leadership of the Republican Party on Long Island. I mean, Suffolk County Chairman Jesse Garcia, Nassau County Chairman Joe Cairo ran brilliant races and I spent 3 days on Long Island last week, and I watched how those races were evolving, and it looks like we've made great gains in the state Senate on Long Island. We've made gains in the Assembly on Long Island, and that's a battleground. It's a battleground every time you want to talk about statewide office. And I've made no mistake that my mission as chairman is to restore this party back to a place where we can compete and win statewide elections. And I think the only way to truly change New York is to change governors of the state of New York. And we took a step towards that mission last night by winning in those key battleground suburbs and putting victories on the board. There's a lot of ballots to be counted in races for the Senate, races for the Congress, and we will let that process play out. Some candidates, I'll leave it to them to declare their victories or not, but it certainly is a very positive step in the right direction. I also want to salute our new Senate Republican leader, Rob Ort. Senator Ort took over an imperiled Senate Republican conference, which, let's face it, was abandoned by its leader when he decided not to seek re-election, and then truly abandoned when that senator resigned to take a job. So Senator Ort came in July to a decimated Senate Republican campaign committee, and we all work collectively to assist him, but he and his team put together a strategy that put us in this position to make great gains in the Senate. The dreams of Gennaris and those that, Andre Stewart Cousins and the rest of the Democratic leadership that dreamt of a veto-proof majority or a supermajority in the state Senate, those dreams have been dashed. They've been destroyed.
That's GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy addressing the public the day after this week's elections in New York. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 2045. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.